Remember, our focus today is on the faithfulness of God. And God is certainly a faithful God. Amen. Psalm 89, verse number 1, the Bible says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Heavenly Father, Lord, today it's so apparent of your faithfulness. And Lord, we are eternally grateful for your great faithfulness that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray today that you would encourage, you would strengthen, you would solidify, and Lord, you would certainly save those who need Christ. Father, do something in this message today and in the next few moments we have together, for we pray and ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
About that. Who would you call? I mean, if you were stranded on the side of the road, who would be the person that you would call on your cell phone right away? You know, some people would call a friend or maybe a family member. But let me ask you a question. Would you call someone who rarely shows up on work on time? Or how about the guy that you may ask him to come to maybe an activity and he may or may not show up? Is that the kind of guy you would call? Or how about the person that tells you they're going to do something and they never do it? Would that be the person, if you were in a real need, would you call that individual? Well, I was thinking about praying over this passage, and I began to realize how many things in our physical life that we rely on others. For example, this morning when I got up, I relied on PG&E to make sure they have lights on for me, to have the electricity on. And there's really a really important part of that is my coffee maker. I needed that. Amen. And so, you know, I relied on that this morning. And so we all rely on PG&E, and through that means there's people who worked and people who maybe put in the power poles and did all the work that they did. And so we rely on PG&E. And then begin to think about a whole bunch of other things we rely on. For example, rely on the police department to make sure that they enforce the laws, that we could drive safely to and from our place of work, or whether it be coming to church or wherever we're going. We rely on them. And then we rely on things like the city, that the city would you know, care for and make sure they keep up the roads and take care of signs and take care of all the things in our city and make sure that our city is covered for the different expenses. And then I begin to think of others, like, for example, our gasoline. We all have to have gasoline to be able to go to work and go from back and forth to work and things like that. And so that means there are people out here who work the gas lines, and there are people who process the gas and get it ready for us so that we can have it in our tanks. Truckers who drive it, grocery stores who open up for food and all of those kind of things. We're very reliant on those, and they're there for us, and we know that. And then we think of restaurants, you know, for food when we need it. If we're out traveling and we don't have a way, you know, we have to go to a restaurant to eat, things like that. Then we're dependent on farmers, that farmers will take care of our of food and make sure that it's sent to the stores. So we're dependent on that. And then we're reliant upon not only that, but factory workers who work to make food products and other needs and things that we personally need. They take care of those things. And then we're relying on our banks to take care of all our assets, and they look after our assets and make sure that all of those things are protected. I know all of you have tons of money, and so, you know, you need to have that protected, and we understand that. And then technology. We're dependent on technology to make sure that, you know, like I heard just this past week, the Southwest had a glitch in their computer system, and so it threw their entire airplanes off, you know, for some time. And so we understand, as we begin to realize how important that we rely on things that make our life, if you would, normal, because somebody is constantly working to do those things. But then the question comes back to the scriptures: what are you relying on for your spiritual life? What are you relying on? For some, it might be they're relying on their religion. They say, well, you know, I'm going to heaven because I'm a religious person, or because I'm a good person, or because, you know, I've done these things, and I know that all those things are all the right things to do, and so that's going to take me to heaven. Or others are dependent perhaps maybe on the fact they've been baptized or whatever the case is. And honestly, none of those things is what God is saying that we're to rely on. For your spiritual life and my spiritual life, I am not dependent on my good works, my church membership, my baptism. I'm not dependent on those things. What I'm dependent on is I'm dependent on Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And with that in mind, then I begin to realize how powerful and how wonderful it is to know that we have a God that is faithful. Unlike man, I love this verse in Proverbs 25, verse 19, where it says this. He says, confidence in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And so God says that we, even though man may not always be there, he can't always be there, and man may not always be faithful, he is. So I began to study this out, and I began to realize how
powerful this thought is, that God is faithful. You can rely on the faithfulness of God Almighty. And this word means, faithful means a firmness, a stability, a steadiness, a fidelity. That means that God, when He created the heaven and the earth, as God made it, He knew we needed oxygen to breathe. He knew we needed light. He knew we needed trees. He knew we needed food. He knew we needed water. And God provided for that and has provided for that since creation. And this morning, I want to tell you this, that every one of you in here, you are here because of the faithfulness of God. All throughout Scripture, it's taught about that to us. It's taught that to us. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Hosea 11 says this, "Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saint," in reference to God. For another place, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. So this morning, as we have come here, I just want to emphasize the faithfulness of God and how important that is for you and for me. What that means to me and what that means to you, because there are three qualities that make this very personal. So it's not just the fact that, you know, we go out there and say, yeah, well, I know God's faithful, but we go out there with the fact that because God's faithful, that has an effect on my life. One of the things I found that in living out in the West, a little different than back East, is the West is relatively a new place in our country. If you go back East, back to the founding of our nation, all of the colonies and all the other things back there, their buildings are hundreds of years old. You go through cemeteries and you can just read, and some of the actually tombstones are just, you can't even read them because they've been washed out over time. But you know that if you could read them, some of them date back to 1700s and 1600. I mean, it's really an amazing thing. And one of the things I like about going back East, when I do go back there, okay, that's occasionally, when I go back there, is going back and just seeing the same things that I've seen year after year after year after year. There's something about that. There's something about the steadiness of that. And so today I want to tell you that you and I can rely on the faithfulness of God. Now, what does it mean? Well, three areas or three qualities I want to give you. Number one, it means security. It means security. Now, I started, you know, you think about security, consider this. Security is very important for us because we need it. We need the opportunity or the understanding that with security brings protection. And how do we see this in the faithfulness of God? Well, number one, consider this, that it's in His person. He's our security. The reason why that I can say I'm going to heaven is not because I'm a good person, because that's far from it. The reason why I can say I go to heaven is because I have put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, and I did that. I made that decision one day when I accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and God says that now I'm a child of God, I'm a part of God's family, and there's a security in knowing that He is faithful to keep me all through these years. Even when I haven't been faithful to Him, He's always been faithful to me. That's what it means. It means that I'm security's person. And something I found is security is only as good as that which secures it. So if I say, well, you know, I really trust this lock to protect my house. Well, can I tell you something? Any locks can be broken. Any locks can be jammed. Any locks can be, you know, pulled off. So locks aren't a sure protection. But I will tell you this. God is a sure protection.
when it comes to your spiritual life. He protects you. And God Almighty is all-powerful, and we can rely on Him. For example, in Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." When I think of that, I think of the fact that God never changes. All throughout Scripture, I realize the fact that I'm dependent on God. I'm dependent on God to get up this morning. I'm dependent on God to provide the oxygen, to provide the strength, to give me the ability to get up, to be able to think like I think and do what I do. I'm totally dependent on God. And we must recognize today that you and I, that as we trust and believe in God, God will take care of everything. So it means security to me. I'm secure in His person, but I'm also secure in His promises. Here in this passage of Scripture, we read about the Davidic promise that God gave to David. And He says that one day, that the ultimate David, who is Jesus Christ, is going to reign on the throne. And this is from generation to generation. We track that all throughout the Old Testament. And so when we look at that, we realize the fact that God is saying that what He promises will culminate in Jesus Christ. And His promises are conditional and unconditional. There are some conditional promises. For example, God promises that He will forgive us when we confess our sins. That's a conditional. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That means that in that condition, if we're willing to come to God and say, "God, I know that I've sinned," and this is for a believer who has maybe perhaps stepped out of the will of God, allowed things to distract them, and they come back to God. God says, "If you will confess, I will forgive." That's conditional. And that's a promise by God. Thank God, He will forgive. Amen. But then there's unconditional promises, mean that God is going to see it all the way through. No matter what man does, no matter how man responds to God, God will make whatever He says happen. And what God is saying is that with David, this covenant is a promise that is unconditional. By the way, I'm thankful to God for His promises in Scripture. The Bible gives us many promises. One example is God says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Aren't you glad God is always with you? Amen? Well, I sure need Him. I don't want to get up here without Him. I don't want to go through my life without Him. I don't want to go through tomorrow without Him. I want God to be there with me. And God says that He is there with us. So God has promises all throughout the Scriptures. It's said that there are 365 promises in the Bible. I think there are probably more than that, but if there are just 365, that means there's one promise per day from God for you every day that you live. Thank God for His promises. And what it means then is I'm looking at the security that I have in God, and all of my security is not in me, it's not in my job, it's not in my government, it's not in my house, it's not in my abilities, it's not in my personality, it's not in my money, it's in God. And so many people have put their security in the wrong places. And God reminds us through His faithfulness that He brings our security. So I want to ask you this, what are you trusting in today? What are you putting your trust in? Is it the fact, well, you know, I really work hard and, you know, I've kind of come up from nothing and look what I have and all that. Do you realize that's the grace of God that He's given that to you? And the faithfulness of God brings you and I great security. And that's what it means to me. And so when I look at that and I read about all these passages in Scripture, and sometimes we read it and we say, well, this was to those men thousands and thousands of years ago, doesn't apply to me. Oh, no, what God is showing you is this is what He did thousands and thousands of years ago, and this is what God can do for you today. We learn from the principles of God's Word. And we're so thankful that while I may not be able to depend on anyone else or mankind or anything else, I can depend and rely on God. So it means, number one, security. Second thing I notice in this passage, it means a certainty. A certainty. And the idea of certainty means a steadiness. Can I get you to go back with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17 for just a moment? This is illustrated for us in this little story. I want you to look at it with me. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. How's everybody doing? Still alive? Still awake? Exodus chapter 17. Look at verse number 8. I want you to see this. Really, really interesting. Because this illustrates what we mean about the certainty of God. Notice what it says in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, and Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mountain. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed upon up his hands, the one on the one side and the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Here's the story. Notice what he's saying. It says that God gave them victory as long as he held up his hand with a rod in his hand. When he let it down, Amalek, or the Amalekites, began to prevail against Israel. Anyone ever had something like when you were punished as a kid that you had to hold your arms out? Anyone ever had to do that? I remember years ago we had a teacher that used to make us hold out our arms, and we could only stand, we had to stand next to the wall with our arms like this. Now it wasn't too bad for the first minute or two. It was the 15 minutes that the arms got heavy. I mean, your arms start, you're just muscles, I guess, they just start pulling down. And it seems like that the arms are so much heavier. And the idea here is that Moses, as long as he steady held up his hands, they prevailed. And what God is showing us here about this steadiness is the fact that what he did was that he had to have people hold up his arms. But can we tell you this? About God, nobody needs to hold God's arms up. God is ever steady. He's steady. I mean, just like the sun up and the sun down every day, you can count on God. It's a certainty. And what God wants us to realize is how certain he is. And how certain that just as God did what he did for the nation of Israel, and as God worked through men's lives, God can do miraculous things for you too. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't say, oh, well, Moses was unusual, so I'm going to do more for him than I would do for Rick Stonestreet or Mark Jackson or whoever the case is. No, God says, no, I'm the same God that worked in Moses. I'll show you what I can do for you. He's certain. You can count on him. And I notice here that, what does it mean then? Well, the basis of God's plan is outlined throughout Scripture. See, God brought us here not to occupy space, but God brought us here that we might walk with him. You and I are here for a purpose. We have a plan. The plan is that every man, woman, every child, every teenager meet Jesus Christ first as their personal Savior. And what that means is we realize we're sinners and we can't go to heaven because we're good people or because we're religious people. We only go to heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And what that means is that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came to this earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and thank God he rose again the third day. And what it means is when I trust in Jesus that I can go to heaven. And thank God that that's my starting place. That's where I begin. And what God is saying is that his plan for our life is that we begin everything in our life with God. And I trust today that if you've never done that, that you would make that decision. That you would call on the Lord and ask him to be your personal Savior. Not yourself, not your abilities, not your religion, but Jesus. But then God's plan is wrapped up in God's mercies. Verse 2, did you notice that? He says the mercies of God. We're going to speak about it forever and ever. The mercy of God. Thank God, God's a merciful God. That's his plan.
and there's no failing of God's plan throughout the ages. So we have then the certainty of God's plan, but it's proved his power. It's through evil, though evil men may seek to hurt us or destroy us, as he did here in this passage of Scripture, and this was written by the psalmist, who believe, of course, is David, that it was at a time, we don't know what the time period was, but somewhere he was going through a very difficult time. I don't know anybody living right now in America that is not going through a difficult time. I don't know of anybody. Everybody I know, there's some kind of difficulty. There's some kind of struggle that we have in our life. There's some kind of maybe challenge that we have, whether it's physical or whether it's a financial difficulty, or maybe we're struggling with job loss, or perhaps maybe other things that we're dealing with. We all are struggling today. And we really need to rely on God to help us through these days, because God is certain. God's loving kindness, he mentions here with his people. He's a loyal God. In verse number 6, the Bible even says, who can we compare God to? And absolutely nobody to compare to God. He's that wonderful. And not only did God have power, he originated power. He created power. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. In other words, God says, I have all power. It's all wrapped up in him. He has it all. And when we see this and we understand the certainty of God, let me tell you what really stands out to me the most in the Old Testament. If you remember Moses in the Old Testament, whenever he was asked by God to go in and ask for the freedom of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. You remember we went in, he said, I want you to go in and you tell Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh began to kind of debate with God a little bit. How can I do that? You know, I'm going to go in there and tell them about God. I'm going to go in there and tell Pharaoh about God. They don't. And he says, who am I to tell them that sent me? And what does God say to Moses? What is his name? I am. Now, that's very significant. Because God did not say, I am I was, or I shall be. God says, I am. Now, here's how this works. Understand this. God is an eternal I am. That means before there was anything ever, God is the I am. God was before creation, and God will be after the destruction of this earth and the heavens. God is the great I am. And what God wants us to realize is, if he's that certain of his being, the idea of I am is what we call in the English tense, it's called the verb to be. In other words, we're being. And today, every one of you right now, you're human beings. You are like God. Now, you're not eternal. God's eternal, but you're a being. And what God is saying is this. God is telling Moses, Moses, let me tell you how certain I am. I am. And I want to tell you today how certain God is. God says, I am. If God can take care of Moses, God can take care of Israel, God can take care of David and Joseph and all throughout the Scriptures. And just as God is, as we read in recent church history, such as in the founding of this nation, and how God is taking care of our country and the great country we live in, God, the eternal God, is certain to take care of them. He's certain to take care of you too. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what hardship you're facing. And I know many of you are, and you share with me, and some of you are struggling with some family issues and personal things that are very heavy on your heart. But I do want you to know that God is certain, and he will take care of you. Because you can count on God. Now, I may not be able to count on man, but I can count on God. So what God wants us to realize when you read about the faithfulness of God, he wants you to know that means security. When you read about the faithfulness of God, he wants you to understand that means a certainty. That means that as you're going through your difficulties, that God is certainly able to take care of you. But then there's one more thing I want you to notice. It means comfort. It means comfort. I need comforting sometimes. Anyone ever need comforting? You go into battle, you come back, you need some comfort, don't you? I didn't have much comfort at the men's camp out on Wednesday night, let me tell you. Wasn't too comfortable. Then dropped down to 29 degrees, and I'm out in the back of a truck sleeping under a camper shell trying to stay warm, and nothing worked. I said, man, I need some comfort right now. A nice warm bed. And everybody else was cold, so I wasn't the only one. But here's my point. We all need comforting. Knowing that God is faithful is comforting to me. There's just something about that. I don't know what it is. Knowing that it's, you know, something faithful. When it's comforting to me to know when I come to Calvary Baptist Church and I look out here and see the people that come here week in and week out and month out and year out, it's just comforting to me to know they're just faithful to God. And some of you are just so faithful, and I just step back and I'm amazed at your faithfulness. But then I take my eyes off of that and look at God and see how God is always faithful. It brings comfort to me. Now, when it's really significant is in two aspects. Number one, in trials. That's significant to me. Because I need comfort. We all have trials that come in our life, and we know that. We understand that. That's a part of what happens to us. When trials come, here's what God says. He says, I've got your back. I got you covered. You got some trials? I got you. But here's what we do. We have a tendency to turn from God and not let God give us the comfort he wants to give us. But God does want to give us that comfort. He promises that in Scripture. He shows us. He's saying, you can count on me through every difficult circumstance you're facing. Let me read you a few. Romans chapter 8. Here's what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, those comforting words. God says, whatever comes in your life, whatever you're facing, I just want you to know that I'm a faithful God, and I'm here to give you comfort. And whatever you are going through right now, God says, I'm assuring you that I haven't left you, that I'm there with you, that no matter what difficult, I mean, it says through life, death, anything, I am your comforter. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, what's the next word? Want. I don't have to want anything. He's there. Every step of the way. And so when I look at that, I say, man, thank God that when I'm in my trials and I found out when you get in trials, have you found out a lot of people leave you in trials? When you go through difficulties, they kind of desert you, don't they? They're hanging around during the good days, but when it gets really rough, then they leave you. But God never does. He's always there through those times. And knowing the faithfulness of God gives me comfort in trials. And then, second of all, in times of testing. In times of testing. Sometimes God will give us a test. That test will strengthen us. You know, none of us like tests. I hate tests in school. I always hated tests. I hate tests for, you know, just the word test bothers me. How about you? Anybody like that? You know, if you want to go and just do anything, well, you got to take a test first. I've taken tests all my life. I always get that little weird feeling inside whenever I hear the word test. Anyone ever feel that way, you know? And it's especially when it's something you want to do. You know, I want to drive a car, you got to take a test.
I mean, you want to buy something, you got to take a test. You know, it's always something with a test. But there are times that God brings testing in our life. Now, none of us like it, and we understand that, but we should like the outcome of what God's doing in our life. Because what God is doing is God is drawing us closer to Him. Sometimes God will test us to strengthen us. For example, in 1 Peter 1:7, here's what he reminds us of. He says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know of anyone who endured perhaps maybe a greater testing than Abraham in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 22, I think most of us know the story quite well. It's a tremendous test that Abraham had. Remember, Abraham went 100 years before God gave him a child. God finally gave him a child at 100 years. Can you imagine he's 116 and he's taking his 16-year-old boy out for his driver's test? Imagine that. I can imagine taking your son to kindergarten at 105. Someone says, that's your great-grandson? Oh, no, that's my son. Just put it into perspective. Now Abraham raises this child, and this child is now 25 years old. Here's what God says. I want you to take that son out, and I want you to give him as a sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. Sarah and Abraham could not have children for 100 years. Well, not quite 100 years, but you get the point. Couldn't have any children. Now God gave him a son, and here's what he says. I want you to take that son down. I want you to make him as a sacrifice. That's a tremendous test to put anyone through. And the Bible said that he went down. And notice in Genesis chapter 22, you don't need to look it up. I'll just read it to you. Here's what it says. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And God sent him down to that Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah stood right next to Golgotha. And he says, I want you to go there, and I want you to give him as a sacrifice. Now, what was really interesting is he went and he took some of his servants, and they went together, and they went down there. He told his servants to stay after they traveled 3 days to this location where God had told him. He says, I want you to stay, and I want you to wait. And he says, I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and return. That's what he says. Now, let me ask you a question. Did not God tell him that he wanted him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice? How could you say that you're going to return with your son if you're going to give him as a sacrifice? I'll tell you how he could. Because he knew God is faithful. He knew that if he offered him as a sacrifice, that God could raise him from the dead. Or that God could do something miraculous, and God did. Did not God provide a sacrifice in replacement for Isaac? Just like God provided a sacrifice for you in place of every one of us, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, the reason why is because he knew God was faithful, and that brought him comfort. I'm not saying the test was easy. I'm not saying that would be anything that I would ever want to be put in a situation, anything like that, but I am telling you this, God is faithful, and he will bring comfort in your times of testing. Look, this morning, there are lots of people in here with a whole bunch of different needs. But God knows your need. He knows right where you are. And here's what God says. He says, you know, if you're struggling with perhaps maybe it's a spouse, or maybe it's a situation at work, or maybe you're struggling with how our government is and you feel a little insecure about that, or perhaps maybe some other things, let me just tell you this. God's faithful. You can rely on God. And when you rely on God, how this works is somehow by relying on God and believing and trusting in the faithfulness of God, it stabilizes our life. It gives us a firmness. Even in the midst of chaos, in the midst of torment, in the midst of difficulty, it gives us strength. And God says that through it all, though maybe we can't depend on others, you and I can depend on God. Because that means security. That means a certainty. And that means a comfort. If you need that today, I urge you, I beg of you, that you would just say, God, I just want to get back to relying totally on you. Stop relying on your flesh. Your flesh will fail. Rely on him. And if you want to go to heaven, the only way you can go to heaven is by relying on Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, today,